Okay, we're getting close to Shabbos, and once again we'll have the honor and privilege of starting yet another book of the Torah, Chumash Shmos. I have to point out, because it's impossible for me not to talk about the excitement of getting to start something new, this Shabbos will also be the opportunity that we have to restart our cycle of Mishnah Yomis. This will be, in our shul at least, the beginning of our fourth cycle together. That's a wonderful opportunity of Limud HaTorah just for a couple of minutes. And just like our Points to Ponder series, which is a couple of moments, perhaps take a couple of moments ourselves over the course of our time together to familiarize ourselves with just 4 or 5 minutes of Mishnah. And we begin as follows. We're told that when Bnei Yisrael came down to Mitzrayim, Yosef Hayab in Mitzrayim, Yosef was already down in Mitzrayim. And Rashi notes that although he was in Mitzrayim, he was part of the 70. And so if that's the case, what's the Torah trying to do? The Torah is highlighting to us that he was in the same tzaddik when working with the sheep, like the other brothers on their way down to Egypt, as he was when he was viceroy. Why was this tzidkus a discussion now while we're taking a census of the names Haboy Mitzrayma at the beginning of the parsha? So the late great Rosh Yeshiva of Lucerne, France, Rabbi Yitzchak Koppelman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, noted that in order to get through Galus, the Jews needed to know that they could make it. Yosef, who had gone down to Mitzrayim as a poor shepherd of 17 years old, was a model for passing the tests of Galus. And when we count the people going into Galus, we want them to know that among them were those who already passed them and could be models to look up to in trying times. And that's an important lesson for us as well. When we go through difficult times in our lives, we want to know how and where are we going to get the strength. Sometimes the best thing to do is to know others have been here and others have been able to demonstrate that strength as well. Torah continues that the Shibud happened, and the Mialdos, Shifra and Pua, were told by Paro to abort babies, late in life. But Velo Asu Kasher Diber Alei and Melech Mitzrayim, they didn't do as the king of Egypt said unto them. Now the Gemara notes that the word Alehen is used instead of Lohen. And why is that the case? So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Yosef Bar Chanina, it explains that Paro wanted to use the women themselves as for purposes of Gilui Arayos. But why is this idea tucked in here in regard to the killing of the babies? So the late great Rav Zadel Epstein, Zatzal, explained that the protective shield of the Bnei Yisrael is the Kedushas Yisrael. And Paro knew that even with the command to kill the babies, the people would rather give up their lives than comply. He knew this power came from the Kedusha, and thus he sought to pierce the shield of Kedusha by introducing Tumah to it through interrelations, through Gilui Arayos. But he wasn't successful. Velo Asu Kasher Diber Alei HaMelech Mitzrayim. They didn't give in to the intended breach that was going to go on over here. V'atechayena Asai Yeladim, and that's how Jewish continuity continued to survive and thrive. It's the efforts of the Mialdos, even in their own threat to their own existence and their own life. So, of course, one of them, Yocheved, wound up having a baby herself. And after 3 months, Lo Yachla Oed Hatzbino, she wasn't able to hide him anymore. And so she puts him into the teva, into this tiny little basket, and he is found by Bas Paro, and his sister Miriam, who is waiting to see what's going to happen, she makes the declaration, "Ha'ilech v'karasi lach isha minekes min avrios. Should I go call a minekes? Should I call a Jewish nursemaid?" And Rashi notes that the princess tried to get the baby to nurse from the Egyptian nursemaids, and he didn't, since he reasoned, a mouth that's destined to speak to the Shekhinah cannot have tumah residue in it. And the Rashba notes that we see from here that the nature passes on from nurse to child and influences the child. And this idea is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Yerodei Simon Pei Aleph Siv Zayim. Take a look at the Ramo over there. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asked what the proof was if Moshe was simply concerned because he wanted to speak with the Shekhinah. Maybe the rest of the babies are not so destined. How could this be la halacha? Maybe now nursing would be better. So Rabbi Yaakov answers that the Torah considers every child to have the potential of Moshe, and every parent to have in mind that their kids are destined to speak with the Shekhinah. My father, Shalita, always points that out to us whenever he has a Yeshua HaBen. He says the benefit of every child, of every baby boy, is that the fact that that child has the ability to be Moshian Shel Yisrael. And that begins first with the ability to speak with the Shechina. Rav Shach Zatzal added that every person does speak with the Shechina each and every day through brachos and tfilos, etc. And thus we need to prepare ourselves, just like Moshe Rabbeinu did as a little baby, to be able to know he's going to be able to speak to the Shechina. Certainly after this period in time, Hashem saw B'nai Yisrael, and he understood. Now, what was it that he saw, and why the emphasis on the fact that he knew? What did he know? So the late, great, Noam Minsky Rebbe of Yaakov Perlau, Zechad Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, explains that there are two perceptions here, one of seeing and one of knowing, one of Vayar and one of Vayeda. And Hashem was able to see the surface, utilizing Midas Hadin to see that they needed the Shibud, yes, but on a deeper level, that only Hashem is able to see, he was able to figure out that the people were involved in personal crises of tshuva, and that he was able to see them more fully, including evaluating their unspeakable emunah, and for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to do something about the situation. We also know that in the Haggadah we use that pasuk, V'alokim es b'nei Yisrael v'yed elokim, we use that to highlight zu, V'yar elokim es b'nei Yisrael zu precious derech eretz, right? And it was the interruption of family life. And how? And why is that proof so vague? So Marv Rabbi Rav Shachta used to remind us that Midas Hatznias requires us to be discreet in the language that we use when and where we're discussing matters relating to intimacy. When it comes to family life, the Torah is very discreet. And here too, since the Torah uses a series of obscure descriptions, it must refer to issues of marital intimacy. So of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns around and he sends Moshe Rabbeinu forward. And he meets Moshe Rabbeinu in the Sneh, right? And he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Shal na alacha me'al raglacha, take off your shoes, ki amakom asher ato meir alav admas kodesh hu. The place you're standing on is kodesh." How? How is it kodesh? It's the middle of the desert. And more importantly, why is shoe removal so important? And so the Chafetz Chaim quoted the Vilna Gaon, who explained that there are times in life when we think we're stuck standing still in Jewish growth. But the antidote is to recall the land you're standing on, the stage that you think you can't move past, that is a makom kadosh. It's a vehicle for the very growth you seek. How do you grow within it? Take off your shoes. They remove the barriers that hold you back from connecting to Kedusha. And you'll sense the opportunity, and you'll seize it. And so Hashem sends Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to Paro, and he says, "Ko'amar Hashem, b'ni Bechori Yisrael, my son, my Bechori Yisrael." And Sforno notes that even in the future, when the nations of the world will also call out to Hashem, it'll be the Tfilos of B'nai Yisrael that Hashem prefers. And Rav Kook Zatzal explained why. He notes that although other nations note the proper language to call to Hashem, B'nai Yisrael realize the sanctity of the tongue that calls to Hashem in that language and raises itself above. And this is the reason why we note V'romam Tanu Mikol Halashonos when highlighting our uniqueness to Hashem at the start of each and every one of our Yamim Tovim. Ramati Greenberg, former Rosh Yeshiva and Karen Biavne, today the Nesia Yeshiva Shlita, added that this is one of the reasons why we can state that had Hashem brought us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, it would have been enough, Dayenu. Dayenu, says Ramati, that since the snake introduced the Zoama, the poison, into the children of man at the time of the original sin, that poison stopped having its effect on Jewish people at Har Sinai, allowing them to be different and their tfilos more exalted. So even if we hadn't received the Torah, that experience alone was Dayenu. It's something that would make us be different within the process. And finally, in the Haftorah, we're told, "Habaim Yashresh Yaakov Yotzisu Parach Yisrael." There are those who come for whom Yaakov takes root and will blossom and flourish. And Rabbi Yaakov Kranz, the Dibna Magid, whose Yahrzeit is this coming week, he noted that this selection for the Haftorah for this week's parsha is especially poignant, as like the parsha which focuses on the tragedy surrounding the beginning of slavery with little relief before the end, the Haftorah reminds us that sometimes the cuts that we suffer are part of the Geula process. The Dibna Magid likens this to the cuts on a piece of cedar wood that are part of forming the most beautiful of artistic furniture pieces. These two are part of the beauty, and these two are part of the Geula. And sometimes in life, we need to remember that the knocks don't show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is away from us, but rather, as Mori Rabbi Rav Shechter used to always point out to us many, many times, Yado Netuya Aleinu, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is thinking about us, Be'ezras Hashem, shows that Ki Lo Yitosh Hashem Amo, and we will get one day to the Geula Shlema, B'mheira V'yameinu, Shabbat Shalom to all.